Welcome to the 24/7 Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Chris Blue talks about learning the sound of God's voice. We hope that the following message blesses you and your family. Enjoy.
Amen. Awesome, awesome. I'll tell you what, it is a wonderful privilege to be in a house where we have such wonderful, blessed pastors in this place that God has built, this ministry that God has built, a platform to be able to minister to so many. We so appreciate Pastor Randolph, Pastor Gail, Josh and Jenna. We're so glad that they got to get away this week to be able to spend a little time. That's always necessary. I'll tell you what. We were at a conference not too long ago where we were being ministered to and with at Gateway Conference with Pastor Robert Morris, and one of the things that he talked about was it is not a time or a season to be ministering out of an empty place. And I'll tell you what, when pastor is able to get away for those few days and things like that, it revitalizes and regenerates. And so we should always pray that God will minister to pastor in those times and those seasons. So powerful. So this week I was praying and just asking God what he wanted to speak to us this morning, as I often do, I always do before I get up here. But I kept being drawn to this passage here on the screen with Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And it's taken out of a larger work that the author is talking about faith and the history of faith. But I just want to take this one little, for the sake of time, take this one scripture. It says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God." Can you say that with me? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. One more time, all together. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. I believe today that God wants to increase our faith in our lives today. And the way he's going to increase your faith today to that next level is by stirring you to be committed to listen to his voice. You see, everyone in this room can hear the voice of God speaking to them. We used to depend on prophets and priests, but when Jesus was hanging on the cross, do you know that in the temple, the veil tore in two? And no longer do we have to go through prophets or priests or kings to be able to hear the voice of God. But every one of us who has received Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior can hear the voice of God speaking to our hearts and our spirits. He hung on that cross so we can do that. But I'll tell you what, on any given day, there are so many voices that are whispering in our ears. Some of them are audible. The words of our spouses are whispering in our ears. The words of loved ones are. The words of the music we listen to. The words on the news. Our latest Netflix series that we're watching. There are also words that are delivered to us through social media posts or podcasts that we listen to. I was reading a statistic recently on an article on Forbes that said our world creates 2.5 quintillion bytes of data online each day. Can you put that number up on the screen for me? 2.5 quintillion, that's how many zeros it takes to make 2.5 quintillion pieces of data that are created every single day out there. No wonder it's called the information age. Researchers estimate that our brains are processing 23 words per second. I have no idea how we do that. I have no idea where all 23 of those words come from. But the point is, information and sound bites are so many more that we're listening to each day. Things we're reading, hearing, even our self-talk. We have to learn how to process and sort those to see if they're valuable. And our brain is constantly doing that every day. It's sorting through, does this need to be retained? Does this need to be processed and paid attention to? But I'll tell you, all of that can be a little bit overwhelming. We're distracted as a culture and as a planet more than we ever have been, I believe. You don't have to go back too far in history, for those of us in the room, to remember when news was limited to this little 30-minute or an hour time in the evening, right? We all sat around the television to listen to the news, and somehow sports made it on there, right? We got to listen to that, got to listen to the weather. But now we have programming that plays 24 hours a day, delivering and rehashing information about any topic that we want to hear from, whether it's politics, whether it's celebrity court cases, if we want to listen to that, down to gardening, if we want to listen to that. And honestly, I'm just going to be really truthful. I love it. I love having information at my fingertips that at any moment I can just look it up and learn about it. I'm a learner. But sometimes it's also in the quieter moments that it can get a little bit more overwhelming. It's that moment when you're laying your head down on your pillow and you're left to think about the past, maybe some mistakes you've made. Maybe some things that you wish you had not said that day. Or maybe it's things you wish you had said. Maybe it's when you're thinking about the future and what it may hold or what it may not hold. These are things that you can't just pull Google out and ask Google. Maybe it's the silence that is created when a loved one has passed. Maybe it's the silence of wrestling with an addiction that you struggle with. Maybe it's the silence of a relationship that's broken and a problem that you're struggling with. You see, there are folks in this room and listening online who are struggling. You know how I know that? Because we're human. This information overload that we're talking about hasn't helped much. You'd think that with more interaction with others through social media platforms, through email, through texting, that people would feel more connected than ever. Psychological research document after research project says that time and time again, loneliness is actually increasing as technology use increases. Not here to discourage technology today. I have my Netflix shows that I'm currently watching. I love keeping up with my friends and family on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Quite honestly, I love it. And in addition to the entertainment value, I believe wholeheartedly that God has put technology in our hands to take the gospel to every creature. But in the midst of life's distractions and in these quiet moments, I hear God knocking at the door. And in Revelation chapter 3, John is writing to the seven churches. And in his letter to the church at Laodicea, God identifies these believers in a place where I can see the church in America. Overall, we're financially comfortable. Our needs are met. The problem that he identifies is that in that place of abundance, they've become spiritually wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Those aren't my words. Those are his words. It's almost like they didn't even realize that they had become so self-sufficient and they'd lost their place of dependence on their intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Sometimes, those of us in the room, we feel like we're okay, but in the midst of the struggles, God's saying, my relationship with you needs to be kindled and needs to be strengthened. And it's right there with the church at Laodicea that God confronts them. Behold, pay attention, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will hear my voice, if anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and eat with him and he with me. You see, we hear this scripture often used in calls for salvation, and I'm not saying that's wrong. But in context, Jesus is actually knocking at the door of the heart of his church. And in his knocking, he's asking if there would be anyone there who would just pause a minute and stop and listen for his voice. And if we'll listen for his voice and open that door, he'll come in. There's a great man of God. There is a great man of God named Francis Frangipane who tells a story about his early days of his relationship with the Lord when he would spend hours of his day worshiping, taking in God's word, listening to his voice, worshiping, praying. He talked about how these intimate times had actually created the fruit in his life that catapulted his ministry. He became a husband, a father, a pastor, a traveling minister. And as happens in all of our lives, the busyness of life set in. He would find himself ministering late into the night, taking care of the needs and demands on his life, normal things in life. One morning, he arrived at his office and a trusted intercessor, prayer warrior, called him. God had used this intercessor to pray many prayers and to support the ministry spiritually. And after catching up a bit, the friend told him that during the night, God had spoken to him, about Francis in a dream. He got so excited, wondering what next direction or expansion would be coming through this man of God's prophetic word. But the word in the dream was simple. Tell Francis, I miss him. Man. It's like a knife in his gut. Tears began to flow. Repentance began to come out of his heart. He'd lost his first love. Doing all the right things. At that point, he began to make some changes in his life. He stood up in front of his congregation that next Sunday morning and he told them he wouldn't be taking any calls in the morning from this point forward because that time was reserved for worship and ministry and listening to the Lord. You see, when the Master speaks even one word into our hearts, everything changes. Jesus understood this and he modeled it for us. Listen to what he said in John 5:30. He said, by myself, this is Jesus, the Son of God, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but the one who sent me. A few verses earlier, if you look up there, Jesus gave them this answer. He said, very truly, I tell you, the Son of God can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And I would say, if the Son of God was dependent on this kind of listening and looking, how much more dependent are we? Yet we're so quick to make judgments and evaluations in our lives and about others without listening. I had someone ask me one time, if you could identify one thing that would help me grow into a long-lasting relationship with God the most, what would that be? Let me tell you, it was a tricky question because it was relatively new to the faith. And I wanted what I said to be useful, right? Have you ever had somebody ask you a question? You're just like, I don't know what to say, but I really want it to be good, right? That was where I was. I was about to go through my standard, read the word, pray, worship, and, you know, be obedient. However, what came out of my spirit was this in that moment. Learn to know and trust the sound of his voice. Learn to know and trust the sound of his voice, and then obey quickly. Because the quicker you obey, the quicker you learn to listen, the quicker and deeper your relationship with the Lord begins to grow. started a dialogue with this young man that was so beautiful. We talked about the great shepherd, the good shepherd, and how he had left the 99 to come and find him when he was lost. We talked about how he is so good and how he's always guiding us from his goodness. The good shepherd said this in John 10. He said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me just as the Father knows me, and I know my Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. Then he goes on to say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How do we learn to listen to the shepherd's voice? We learn to know the shepherd. Once read about a man who's asked this question. He said, he's a great man of God. God had used him in a lot of intercession. And they asked him this question, how do you know when God's speaking to you? How do you know how to hear the voice of God? And he leaned in and he smiled and he said, don't you know your own mother's voice? See, I know my mom's voice. My mom, when she calls me on the phone, she says the same thing every time. Hi, Chris, this is your mom. Because I wouldn't recognize it unless she had done that without caller ID or anything, right? But of course, I know her voice. I know her voice. I know my wife's voice. I can be in the room with 1,000 people, and I can hear my wife's voice, and I know, and I identify that voice because I know her. John 1:1 says this, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. But listen to this, the Word was God. If I can make this point to those who struggle to know if they're hearing God's voice or not, learning to hear His voice is exactly the same as learning to know Him. Let me say that again. Learning to hear His voice is the same as learning to know Him. He Himself is the Word. See, this book that we have in our hands or we have on our phones is the revelation of Himself to you. It's not a history book. It's not a document for theology or doctrine. It's not a historical record of some kind. It's living. It's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce even between the division of your soul and your spirit, of your joints and your marrow. It discerns the thoughts and intentions of your heart. You see, I can't separate the sound of His voice from the revelation of Himself that is contained in this His Word. My starting point is knowing how to hear and recognize the voice of God by diving in, reading, studying, and allowing the words and revelation of Himself to penetrate my heart. I need Him desperately to reach inside of me and to change me. My heart is deceitful and beyond a cure. That's not my words. That's the words that Jeremiah shares with us. Our own hearts can deceive us on the best day. I'd like to say that I know and understand myself. But my self nature deceives me. When I open His Word, it opens the eyes of my heart. It shines a light on me in a way that will reveal when I've deceived myself. I have a tough time listening to people who say, well, if you'll just reach inside your heart, you'll know the right thing to do. You hear this all the time. It is like the theme to every Hallmark movie. Not to bash Hallmark movies, but good Hallmark Christmas movie stirs the heart. But I have a hard time when we say, if you'll just reach inside, you'll know the right thing to do. Because this book says something completely different. Proverbs 28:26 says, he who trusts his own heart is a fool. Jesus said that out of the human heart flows this: evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Just trust it. David's prayer in Psalm 51 was this: create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In Ephesians 4:18, Paul talks about the blindness and ignorance of our hearts. But then later in Ephesians there, Paul goes on to say, he says, do this. He said, put off the old man, the old way of thinking and the old way of feeling, and renew the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. I had a Bible teacher one time who told me what God really wants to do in your life as you study the Word is he wants to eliminate your stinking thinking. Right? Anybody in the room ever encountered some stinking thinking? Me too. Today, yesterday. You see, it's not enough for me to have the feel-goods every time I open this book. If we're only hearing the things that tickle our ears and bring us warm fuzzies, we probably need to dive in a little bit deeper. We need to ask God, what in my life needs to be corrected? What kind of transformation are you wanting to work in me today? Can you imagine if we would be so bold as before we open up the Word, we ask God, would you rebuke me today? If we've ever prayed that before. Are there attitudes? Are there wrong thought patterns that I'm thinking where I need to repent? Deuteronomy instructs us, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. Psalm 119 says, I take his words and I hide them inside my heart so that I might not sin against him. Others in the room might be on the opposite end of the spectrum. And every time you open up God's words, you feel like you're only ever being corrected and rebuked. Condemnation may cripple you. But here's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, there is therefore thou no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. Because Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives you life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. You see, the good shepherd only illuminates these areas in our hearts to set us free. He only illuminates these places because he wants us to have freedom in these areas of our lives. It's not to beat you down with them. It's not to show you what a sinner you are. He's paid for your sin. And when we are in relationship with this good shepherd, his teaching, his reproof, his correction and his training all become beautiful to me. We know that each time he encourages us, and even when he corrects us, it's because of his goodness. It's because of his kindness to lead me toward repentance. He only wants me to be righteous. He only wants me to be whole. The more we get to know the revelation of his word, the more we begin to have a well that we can draw from in knowing the sound of his voice. Let's say that again. The more we know of his revelation of himself through the word, the more we begin... Sorry, I lost my place. The more we have a well to draw from, right? I need a well because all that stuff and all that junk that's in me, I need this to wash the well. And the more I put this in me, the more what comes out of me is my relationship and my knowledge of his word. You see, usually I have some people who come to me and ask, you know, how do you hear God's voice? How do you know if it's Him talking to you? And usually what they're asking is, you know, how do you hear God speak things that other people don't know? Right? Or they're asking, how do I hear God's voice to know what the direction is for my life or for this next phase? If I can, I'll invite you into a series of questions that I usually ask in that situation. Because Jesus always did that. He always answered questions with questions, right? First question is always, do you have one of these? Everybody in America has one of these, or we at least have our phone. We solve that problem if we don't have it. Then my next question is, how often are you reading it? Then my next question is, can you take its words and make it make sense in your life? In order to recognize that still small voice inside of our heart speaking, we have to know what our shepherd's voice sounds like. I'm not talking about the kind of leading or the kind of speaking that God does that causes people to say, well, I feel like, or I think the Lord's saying in this situation. Remember, on our best days, I feel like is tainted. On our best days, our thinking is a mess. However, if we're growing in our relationship with the person who is the Word, and He begins to speak His Word into a situation, now we're talking about the kind of hearing that faith comes through. You see, when you're asking God to speak about His leadership on a new job position or a major life decision that you're facing, you can trust His still small voice when He comes up. He says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you're looking at an obstacle that feels too ominous, or you're facing a problem that you just don't know what the answer to is, you can hear Him speak in His word to me, call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known before. Did you know God wants to share His mysteries with you? There are things that I've heard in the presence of God that I don't know that I will ever share with another human being, because it's Him and I talking. Mary, when the angel came and gave her a word from the Lord, Scripture says she took it and she hid it in her heart. Right? They're mysteries. When you're in a moment that you don't know how to pray, but you know you need to, you see what God's word says about that situation. Paul's prayer to the Ephesian church was this. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you can know Him better. I remember one time I was leading worship and we'd gotten to one of those transitional moments that happened when I knew the Holy Spirit wasn't quite finished doing the work. Pastor wasn't picking up the microphone, but I didn't know what to do next. So in the quiet waiting, I heard a passage of Scripture come to me that I had read earlier that morning. It said, let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. I knew the Lord was speaking that. I was so glad that I'd spent time in His presence that morning and in His word so that He could pull that out of the well. In fact, I knew exactly the song that had those same words in it. Some of you guys have already been singing it in your heads, maybe. I wrestled because I knew that that wasn't the song that He was wanting us to sing at that point. And the only thing that was coming up inside of my heart and spirit was la, 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 la. It's just like, Lord, I'm just going to sit here and wait for you just a little bit more. It was all quiet in the church. Everybody was waiting on me. So I picked my hands up, and I went to the piano, and I started playing. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. La, la, la. And if you've ever played this chord and you don't have music in front of you, la, you get it wrong every time. And I did. La, 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 la. I assure you that at that moment I had no goosebumps. There was no overwhelming presence of God that walked into the room at that moment. And I was still wrestling. Holy Spirit, thank God, moved us on into another song. Presence of God came, and the goodness of God entered the room. Song transitioned to another, and it was almost like the Here Comes the Bride song was just a little blip on the radar. I came off that platform thinking, Pastor is going to question me on that one today. But at the end of the service, this middle-aged woman ran up to me. That week, she'd been thinking a lot about her first marriage that had ended in divorce. And as she was reading about being the bride of Christ in her devotional, she was lamenting that she'd never been able to have a proper wedding ceremony. It was difficult for her because that was affecting her ability to see herself as the bride of Christ. And she'd taken it to him in prayer that week and asked him to give her a stronger revelation. And as she approached me that afternoon, she had tears streaming down her eyes, and she said that when that little song was played, God picked her up and walked her down the aisle in a beautiful wedding robe of righteousness, where she was able to meet the bridegroom. At the time, it wasn't even words, but miraculously, he reached inside her spirit and he changed her perception of herself and her relationship with Jesus. You see, when you have his word hidden in your heart, he can draw from that well to change your life, but he will also draw from that well to change the lives of those around you. His word becomes a lamp to your feet, and it becomes a light to your path. His word will help you lead others down his path. Paul said this. He said, you guys are all getting hung up on speaking in tongues and all this kind of stuff. He said, but here's what I wish. He said this. He said, I wish that you all would prophesy. And I've thought about that a lot. And I wonder, why would he wish? And as you read that passage, he said, here's why I wish this. And if I can demystify prophecy to anyone in the room, all prophecy is, I hear God speak, I say what he said. That's all it is. Anybody in the room can learn to hear the voice of God and speak the word that he said. And he said, I wish that everybody in the room would hear God and be able to speak what he says. Another time I was praying for a young lady, and God stirred in my heart to pray this. He said, I called her over, and I was praying for her, and what the prayer that came up out of my heart and out of my spirit was, you will live and not die. And it was the same prayer. You have ever been praying and you're like, what words are next, right? What words are next? And then all of a sudden, you know, I knew that there were no other words. I just kept praying, you will live and not die. You will live and not die. You will live and not die. In my mind, I was searching for some other words, but what kept coming in my heart was, you will live and not die. And then the second part of that verse came in, and you will proclaim the work that the Lord has done in your life. And I prayed that, and God had taken that well that I had heard and known out of Psalm 118, And if I'm honest, when I was praying, I was kind of struggling that I wished I'd had more to pray for. But I just remember when she came up later and she told me she'd been contemplating taking her own life. You see, there's no way I could have known that. She looked like she was all put together. She's smiling. But God took a word from the well and he pulled it out. And he spoke to her. Today, that young lady is serving with her husband as a youth pastor. And every day she's standing in front of youth, proclaiming the work that the Lord has done in her life. Faith, friends, comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. A friend of mine had posted a testimony earlier this week. About 10 years ago, this wife had been at her husband's bedside as they were getting ready to wheel him back to the operating room to take an artery from his leg to repair a brain aneurysm. But before they knew that this aneurysm had happened, they'd been reading a book that was challenging them to ask God for big questions and big miracles. And now here they were, facing the largest obstacle in their life that they had faced to this point. But it seemed like she was a little embarrassed because her husband kept telling the surgeons that God had already healed him. He kept announcing it. He kept saying it was all that could come out of his mouth. God's already healed me. God's already healed me. I don't know that I need this surgery. God's already healed me. And he kept announcing it as she kissed him. And as he closed his eyes, counting down from 10 that only make it to one digit, if you've ever been there. But miraculously, after a little while, the doctor came out and told her, the aneurysm is no longer there. She said he gave her some reasons why the x-rays could have misread or could have showed an anomaly. He talked about some other things that could have happened. But can I tell you, God had given them a word. God had spoken a word to them that he would be healed. What can happen when you and I listen and obey? Do you realize this voice that we're listening to is the same voice that said, let there be light, and there was light. It's the same creative voice that speaks into your heart and speaks into your spirit. I believe that Jesus is calling to us, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. He stands at the door today and he's knocking. He wants to speak to us. He's longing to stir your faith, to increase your capacity to believe. He wants to come in and he wants to talk to you about the details of your life and the lives of those around you. And I believe his question, as he stands before us today, as Pastor was talking, it would be, will you open the door and just take some time to listen? This afternoon, when you get that much-deserved nap, you wake up, would you take some time to listen? In the morning, when you rise, would you take some time to listen? To hide some words in your heart. He wants to come and speak about the lives of your coworkers, to give them that word of encouragement that they need. Your children, your spouse. He's knocking. Will you hear his voice? We're talking about Mary here earlier, and this is my last point here. Talking about Mary, and Mary, Jesus had changed her with his words, right? He delivered her from a life of prostitution. He delivered her from stinking thinking. And as she went out on that third day to his tomb, she saw that he wasn't there. All her hopes, all her dreams had been crushed. She couldn't deny what he had done in her life. But all the questions were there. Angels talked to her. Then who she believed to be the gardener walked up. Asked her, "Why are you weeping? They've taken my Lord away. Do you hear that? They've taken my Lord away. Do you hear the desperation in her heart? The thing I held on to, the one I held on to is gone." Most beautiful thing happens next. Because the Savior says, "Mary." Just like she knew her own mother's voice, she knew his voice speaking her name. And she said, "Teacher, Word of God, living truth." He said, "Don't hold on to me yet. Go back and tell everybody." You know, he wants us to know his voice so close, we don't have to question it. And I believe that every one of you in this room, God doesn't need a pope to speak his word to you. God doesn't need someone up here to speak his word to you. He wants to talk to your heart. Can we bow our heads? Jesus, we hear you knocking. Today, we have ears and we hear you calling to us. Teach us to be quick to listen. Teach us to discern your words from our own heart's deceptions. Where we lack faith, help us remember to just stop and listen for a minute. Because God, we know the grass may wither, the flower may fade. But God, we know that every word you speak will stand forever. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name.
We hope that you are blessed by this message, and thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at My247Church. Remember, be the church 24/7.